Before we get into the show today, I just want to apologize for the quality of the Zoom call. Zoom is not really my forte. I love doing these conversations in person whenever possible. Keith and I just couldn't get our schedules together, so we did the call via Zoom, and I'm enjoy the conversation, but I wish the sound quality was a little better. So next time Keith and I talk, hopefully you'll be after a nice fishing trip down at the Black Bass Lodge in Punto Abrijos. Enjoy the show. Talk with you soon. Hey, this is Michael Emery. Thanks for tuning into the Slow Baja. This podcast is powered by Tequila Fortaleza, handmade in small batches, and hands down, my favorite tequila. Hey, I want to tell you about your new must-have accessory for your next Baja trip. Benchmark Maps has released a beautiful, beautiful Baja California Road and Recreation Atlas. It's a 72-page large format book of detailed maps and recreation guides that makes the perfect planning tool for exploring Baja. Pick yours up at benchmarkmaps.com.
Let's just stop for a second and say, hey, it's Travel Talk with Slow Baja, and I'm sitting here with Keith Berkeley, and we're talking about the Black Bass Lodge in Punta Abrijos. Keith, welcome, amigo.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate you having me on.
Yeah. So, dude, I'm astonished about why people make the effort to build something phenomenal in Baja and then share it with others. And you did.
Yeah, it's so, when I was young, we would, you know, like we would go camping with my parents in their VW van, usually to like San Felipe or something like that. San Felipe was like our spot. And then as, you know, we got older, like I have an older brother and younger brother, as we got older, we started reading about Baja and we started saying, hey, I want to go to Bahia de Los Angeles, or we want to go to Loreto, or we want to go to these different places. And we try to figure out how to get there. And once we got into high school, we could work and we could, you know, get down there. We just loved it. And when I was just started grad school, I'd read this wonderful book by Gene Kira, and I forget his partner's name in it, but it was called The Baja Catch, and it was about fishing, I mean, all over Baja, and Punta Abrijos sounded the coolest to me, because it's got big bass types. It's just not your typical, like, hey, let's go catch a marlin or troll around all day until, you know, it's like, you really got to work at it, and I mean, you catch a lot of fish, but we just, yeah, a few of my friends and I, when we graduated from undergrad, went there the first time, and we didn't know what we were doing. We were just camping. We brought a boat. We didn't know anybody, and we had the best time. It was amazing. And went through that process. I met a guy by the name of Paco Zuniga. A couple of my friends that worked at Fisherman's Landing had heard that I was going to Abrijos, and they came into the restaurant that I worked at, and they said, hey, I want you to give these photos to Paco Zuniga. So I put them in a Ziploc, put them in my tackle box, and sure enough, we're
out. The way it used to be.
Yeah.
And, dude, carry this stuff down to my bro, and then it's going to be your bro.
Yeah, and it was funny. They had to qualify it. They're like, this guy's an actually really good fishing with a rod and reel. It was kind of in that transition before, you know, when people were just not just using hand lines anymore. And, yeah, so we went down, sure enough, like, first Ponga comes up and was like, what are you guys doing? It's so weird that you're here. And we're just explaining it. I said, oh, I'm looking for my friend, or I'm looking for a guy named Paco. I have something for him. I mean, a few minutes later, the boat rolls up. It's Paco. He's fishing with an American guy named Oscar, who was one of the first Americans that I met down there. And I said, hey, I have something for you guys. And so Oscar was in the front of the boat. So we got the pointy ends together, and like we gave the photos. And he's like, did Danny give these to you? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, I was in the front of the boat when that was taken. So it just kind of blossomed into this relationship with Paco and Oscar. And then, yeah, we were camping. And then I started, I convinced a few of my professors at San Diego State to let me go study the town for a semester. And Eric and I would come back and we were
brilliant.
Doing a geographical survey. And oh my God, we had a great time. But during that time, we found out there was some land for sale that was 27 years ago, and we were able to purchase some land, and it took us a long time because it was really wasn't that much. I mean, I want to say it was like $7,000 back in the day, but you know, when I'm at that age, $7,000 might've been a million because we just didn't have it. If we had $200 to rub together, we're in our homes, like we're in Baja. So, but yeah, so eventually we were able to pull it off, and it, you know, it takes a little longer to build when you're, when you got to build in cash. And I didn't know what I was doing. I had no idea how, what I was going to do. I mean, I thought I could build a whole place for like $20,000. I didn't know. I wasn't in construction then. I just had no clue as to what things were. But my interest in construction at that point kind of led me to start my own company up here. So really, Aubrey almost gave me my career.
So let's talk about a couple of things related to that. You're a SoCal dude. Doing a little research on you, you've got a couple of degrees in Latin American studies, and you've got an MBA in international business.
Yes, sir.
And you're a contractor, and it sounds to me like you love to fish.
Yes. Yeah. I love to fish, love to be on the water. I'll surf. I'm not that good at it, but it, you know, like to go out and surf with the boys or something, we'll do that. But I'm not, I didn't get into it like a lot of my friends did. You know, so, a lot of my friends that study and or that surf, and they surf religiously, they go all over the world and surf. And but I've had a few of them tell me that the best day of surfing they ever had was in Aubrey Isles.
Well, from my last trip, staying at your place for just a night, there was not a single surfer out other than the two guys that I interviewed. So,
oh really?
It was pretty low key down there. Nice small waves, but nobody else to compete with. So it seems like a perfect spot. I wish I had a longboard with me because I would have jumped in and gotten a few waves.
And there's like five other breaks right around there. The point is one thing, and then there's razors to the left. But there's other breaks that are much more, I guess, attuned to me because I don't want to drop in on a bunch of rocks.
yeah. So it sounds like there's a few... challenges, geographical challenges there. But hey, Keith, what I really want to get to, honestly, is it sounds like you've got a love for Latin American things, Mexico, etc., Baja specifically, and you decided somewhere after your MBA, like you're going to be a contractor, but yes. You also have this passion for this spot. And you built a beautiful lodge there. So
thank you.
Walk me through that.
Well, so we started building it. And we started with the most utilitarian thing we could build, which was a 5 meter by 5 meter concrete block with a door. And then that was just to get away from the flies. It was a place we cooked. That was a place we slept. You know, we had a roof and you know, we're like, well, we love this place. We're surviving. But when I finally get to build this place, I really want it to be something that's in a way out of place. Like it's when you go down there, you can get, you know, you can find a plenty of places to stay where, you know, it's just very simple. It's very utilitarian. I didn't want this place to be utilitarian. I wanted it to be something when people got there to be like, wow, there's art here. You know, like, well, the architecture is better than I thought. You know, I want people to be pleasantly surprised. And to know that we really, in designing it, decorating it, and things, we really tried to keep in mind some of our favorite places to go and the places that, you know, have a lot of art and stuff that doesn't really make sense. Little alcoves and, you know, halibut carving on the bench where you get your towels, you know, little things like that. Like, that's to me what makes it. And we're still working on it. You know, I think it'll get more and more unique. Hopefully not too crazy, but and I don't know if you noticed, but there's a lot of you probably wouldn't notice unless you went to Anthony's a lot here in San Diego, but there's a lot of artwork from there. When they were closing down, it just so happened to be I was opening up, and Anthony's Seafood was like a staple here in San Diego, and Anthony's Seafood, that family was instrumental in starting Aubrey Oaks. They went down there on motorcycles and said, hey, we want you guys to go out to this point. We'll come down in a ship and we'll bring you lobster traps. We'll bring you food. We'll bring you bait. We'll bring you boats, everything you need. You guys fish lobsters for us and we'll pay you, you know, we'll pay you by this much money per pound. And so they started doing that. So the three families or two families, the Zuniga's and the Arces, went from San Ignacio on the backs of mules. They walked next to the animals. They didn't ride them. And they just got all the way out to Abre Ojos, and took them 3 days from that dirt road. And then sure enough, the ship showed up, and every year it did. And then they, once they discovered they could also sell abalone, then they were there year round. But so that artwork, when I told the owner about where this was going, he was like, wow, that was my grandpa that was on that motorcycle that went down there to do this. It's like a famous story in our family. And so he was, you know, I can tell he was pretty upset that the way his iconic restaurant was going away, but maybe that gave him just a little bit of happiness. He was pretty proud of that. And he was like, well, I'm glad you got this. And you got the glass that ended up in the shower. That was like part of their, you know, dining room. And then there was that sand sculpture, which was a Faust. And he ended up doing the architecture for the wildlife animal park. And he did that for them before he kind of became famous. So, but yeah, so we have a lot of stuff that we feel is significant and symbolic and, you know, makes us happy. And I don't want it just for us. You mentioned this earlier. Like, I don't know if I could, you know, my parents showed me a lot of stuff, and through them, they showed other kids, like all the people that would come down as adults down to the camp that we called the lodge. And they would come down there and camp, and they got that from my parents. So I figured, wow, if I could just create like, you know, like a dream factory, like for kids to learn about, okay, well, that's a scorpion. Like, this is how you catch fish. This is a tide pool. This is how you surf. This is how you become responsible. This is how you change a tire. And I think that that's important stuff for young men and women to do. And I don't know, why not share?
This is how you sneak a beer when your parents aren't looking.
That's right.
So Keith, let me just rattle off a few things here that I've scrawled on my yellow legal pad that I think sets the scene for folks. Remote, private, completely off the grid, Black Bass Lodge is a destination all in itself. Located steps from the beach, no doubt about that. It's right there. It's across a dirt road from your front hammock. Punta Abre Ojos, Baja California Sur, where the surrounding reefs are abundant with fish and the waves bring surfers from all over the world. Yeah, that about sums it up.
Yeah, we've met people from all over. There's a professional windsurfer that lives in Maui, and he comes to, and I forgot his name, I should really know his name, but he comes to Abre Ojos for a week every year. And he's just like, it's different wind. And, you know, you see the kite surfers are out there now, because that's one thing. Abre Ojos has an abundance of fish and an abundance of wind. I mean, it's just the way it is. And almost every morning calms down and becomes beautiful and glasses off. But pretty much every evening gets windy. And so that's God, if I only kite surfed, I'd have something to do all the time. But yeah, because, you know, and yeah, it really is. It's a special spot. And we wanted to make it so that, like, when people come there, the reason we have a chef you know, there that we're all, you know, all time is, you know, people would have to go to town and find a little restaurant, see who
was. Yeah. You got to eat in somebody's house, right? You're dining in somebody's home in Abre Ojos. So it's cool, but it's effort.
Yeah, or the old tire shop, which is one of them. They're great food, but it's the old tire shop. I remember it.
Yeah.
And I think that Griselda, she does a wonderful job. And, you know, I told her, I said, look, let's experiment between you and I. But I really want you to just think of kind of like antojitos, like the, you know, like traditional Mexican fare that you would get at home. You know, there's nights when we go off and we'll make sushi, or we'll bring down a different chef, or she and I will experiment with something kind of fun. And you know, but she does her, you know, she makes things from scratch. She doesn't just open up a can of enchilada sauce. She usually just, you know, starts by chopping up all the tomatoes and then the garlic and then cilantro, and then it turns into something amazing. And I just want people to feel like they're at home, but not you know, not their home. They don't have to maintain it and do all that.
Yeah, I mean, Keith, let me tell you. I mean, I was there for one night, and she cooked a She prepared a beautiful ceviche for me.
Wonderful.
And it was really, again, it was awkward that I was the only guest, but it was amazing. And then, you know, the eggs the next morning were beautiful, and the fruit plate was stunning and sort of, I would say, you know, kind of a little over the top, given that I was the only person there, but it was spectacular. Well, I was touched that she put the effort into to doing that for me, and the coffee was spectacular. So really, when you're out in a pretty remote spot like your place, to have phenomenal coffee and somebody who's caring for you and looking after your needs with a beautiful fruit plate and, you know, six different things and more than I could ever eat, plus a beautiful eggs breakfast, you know, it was really special.
Wonderful. That is, that's what we're going for. Like, we don't care if it's one person or if there's 12 of them. Like, we want to make sure that each person feels like they can get what they want. Like, we don't want people to feel like, oh, you know, I was in the bathroom and I don't know, there was something I saw there. It wasn't right. You know, ask us, we got stuff. We have a little store there that they can get sandals and shirts and, you know, fishing gear. We have a little tackle store down there. They can even buy rods and reels if they want, but
Can we jump into that a little bit? How does, so you've got four rooms. It looks to me like you can easily take care of eight people and maybe up to what? I don't know, 12 or
14. We've had 15 when they're families that know each other.
Yeah, so people want to get snuggly.
You know, like, yeah, people like, because we're, my brother, you know, and two of our good friends, they all have two kids. It's like two adults, two kids. But the kids always end up sleeping up on the roof with their sleeping bags and stuff. So it's like, Holly and I got our own room. It's great. But, you know, like, if the kids are too young, then they're going to stay down there. But yeah, you could, it's more work. And as we get more people, she will get help from town. Like, Griselda will call her cousin or.
Oh, that's the Mexican way. No problem.
Yeah. No, so we can ramp up to six people like that. So if we have a big group, we just ramp up the people and we just buy more supplies and catch more fish and right.
And so if people are coming down to stay with you, I'm assuming you've got a guy with a panga who's going to take people out if they want to go out. And it appears to me from my limited time there that you can catch halibut right out in front of the, I don't know how many things you can catch, but people
certain were times a year
right there.
Yeah. There's halibut. We had a trip last fall. It was a 50th birthday. And so we went fishing down on the beach. I think it was in October. October, November are almost interchangeable down there, especially for fishing off that beach. And all of a sudden we just saw a lot of bird activity and we were catching sierras. We caught halibut, we caught bass, we caught yellowtail, we caught bonita. There was a croaker. I mean, that's what I love about down there. You cast out, who knows what you're gonna get. You know, it's not like sometimes when you're salmon fishing, you got a salmon or a salmon. So you have no idea. Like we caught yellowfin tuna and sheephead on the same anchor in the boat. Like, to answer your question from earlier, there are pongas in town. Pongas de turismo. Like, so they have a couple that have pole holders and drink holders and stuff, and they have captains specifically that captain those boats. But they don't have a whole lot of tourism down there. So
that's what I was going to say.
The motor's gone. We have to call ahead of time and say, hey, are you going to have boats? And if not, La Bocana, just to the north, they have like five or six sport fishing boats. And so you can always get those as a backup. But I like to use the local guys that I've known since they were 2 years old. Like, you know, it's like one of the best captains down there. I mean, I remember throwing him around in the sand when he was three.
Awesome.
Hey, do you wish you had joined us on the Nora 500? Well, here's your chance. It's double the mileage, double the fun, double the parties, double the dirt. It is the Nora Mexican 1000. We're going to drive by day. We're going to party by night. I'm pouring shots of Fortaleza tequila. April 30th through May 6th, 2022, we're driving the entire peninsula. You don't want to miss out on this one. Again, if I can do it in my 1971 Toyota Land Cruiser, totally stock, you can do it in any modern 4x4. the Nora Mexican 1000. It's the happiest race on earth. Check it out at nora.com, N-O-R-R-A.com, or on Slow Baja.
So let's wrap this up. Fishing, surfing, eating, adventure lodge, 4 beachfront rooms, indoor, outdoor showers, Wi-Fi, private chef, daily cleaning. If somebody wants to book right now, what's the best way?
Just call us, go on our website. You know, we're on some of the, like, it gets a little tricky with some of the other websites like Booking and VRBO and those things. We've had some difficulties with the way each format set up. So just email us.
I got to you through Black Bass Lodge on Instagram.
So okay, that works too.
Lodge on Instagram.
Or Facebook, we have.
Yeah. Right on it. And so tell me what's the best way if somebody wants to get a hold of you and get down to your lodge with a family or whatever they want to do. They want to book for October, November, December. What's the best?
Just the best way is to go to the blackbasslodge.com, put in an inquiry, tell us how many people you have, what dates you want, any specifics, like if you're vegan or whatever, do you want to fish, all those kinds of things, and we can set it up. So we have a calendar that we want, that we look at to, that kind of books everything. But yeah, the best way is just to call, but you also have to decide, some people aren't adventurous enough to find the place, you know, like it's not easy and it's kind of daunting. And so we actually do run a limited number of guided trips per year where we will fly from Tijuana to Loreto. We have a 16 passenger van there. We usually go to Santa Rosalia first, stay the night there at El Morro. It's a nice little hotel, but it's not nicer than the lodge, which is important.
True that.
They have a nice dinner. And then we're at the lodge by 8 a.m. the next day. We usually stay for like 5 days and then go back to Loreto on the final night. And we stay at La Misión, which is just my favorite hotel ever in Baja. And we've gotten to know the staff there to the point where we'll come and we'll just go talk to the chef and we'll just give her a bunch of fish and lobsters, clams, whatever we brought over, and give it to them. And then we just say, hey, everybody, go relax, go sit in the pool, go take a nap, whatever you want to do. Just be up at Los Olivos, their restaurant, at 7. And we just have, you know, and she'll bring out so much food that, oh, it's unbelievable. But I know none of it goes to waste, so. Yeah.
Well, again, your spot is what? Is it 60 kilometers or is it 100 kilometers west of San Ignacio?
It's right in between that, because it's about 15 miles to the turnoff, and then it's 68 miles. I'm sorry, not kilometers, 68 miles from the turnoff. So it's pretty far.
So I was guessing it was about 100. Sorry, I was a little confused. 100 kilometers, 60 miles-ish from San Ignacio.
It add a little bit more, because you got to get
a little bit more
to the turnoff. From the turnoff, you're correct. It's
from the turnoff.
60 miles to the lodge.
From the turnoff, which I'm going to joke is the local Starbucks, because I asked the old woman there if she would make a coffee for me.
Yeah.
It was 10 minutes and it was beautiful. And her dog barked at me the entire time. Where she made this hot pot of boiling water on her stove and then poured it through the sock full of freshly ground coffee, which she ground in front of me, and talking to me the entire time, you know, about life and everything else. And it was a really, you know, it's that, I hate to say it this way, Keith, but it really was a slow your roll, slow Baja kind of a moment. Once you
there
get
you go.
San Ignacio, which is not exactly fast Baja for the imagination. Once you start going west towards your place, it is super slow Baja, man.
You know, it's perfect. Yeah, it's perfect for your podcast, because it's great now, but it was so frustrating when I was trying to get the thing built, like before my manager.
Yeah.
My dad and I would go down there we'd be there for 2 weeks. And so I put out the word, hey, I need some contractors. I need to talk to some people. So slowly the next day, somebody would come by and, you know, and I was like, look, I just need this 15 by 15 concrete pad. That's all I need done. And you're a concrete guy, so let's do it. And he goes, okay, well, tomorrow I'll come by with the tape measure. And I was like, no, look, I got paper right here. I got a tape measure. Let's just get the measurements done right now. Like, you know, and it would take me 3 or 4 days for them to get me just the materials list and stuff and to tell me that they would do it. And oftentimes we'd have to leave without these, I mean, minor projects getting done. And so I was like, okay, look, here's half your money. I'll give you the other half when I get back. But we didn't have, you know, I wasn't, and not everybody had cell phones then. So it was very difficult. I'd have to send faxes or whatever. And I swear, every time we showed up, that concrete would be wet as, it was just wet. Like 10 minutes before we got there, and there'd been like 3 months in between. But yeah, it was pretty fun. It was frustrating. But then once the technology caught up, it was a lot easier.
You've persevered. And it seems to me like Griselda seems to be doing a phenomenal job in the kitchen. And really, again, I mean, I was the only guy, but, you know, they were really quite honestly, sincerely warm to me, and the food was great. Good. And it was lovely. Hey, I want to just wrap this up and just throw a couple things out to you and have you bring them back to me. Is this legit? $475 per night, up to 8 people. Are you kidding me?
Yep. Includes it meals. Includes food.
Includes meals, private chef, cleaning service. Are you kidding? Yeah.
Hey, yeah. We want people to go there. We're not trying to, we know we're not trying to get rich off this thing.
No, and I get that. So you got to get the people who are willing to go 60 something miles from San Ignacio. And yeah. I love San Ignacio, but it's all paved. It's not hard. You got to get out there, but you do have to get people to get out there. So you've got a special through the end of the year. Through 12/31/21, $475 a night, up to 8 people. So get your friend, get out there, and get to the Black Bass Lodge.
Thank you. I'm glad you went, and I hope you come again. You know, when we're heading down this weekend, you're invited.
Well, I'm heading up to Oregon to watch my son play baseball, but as soon as his season is over, I'm hoping to donate a garage full of baseball gear to the
baseball club in Santa Castillo. Does he play for the Ducks, or is he?
He is. He's in the Giants minor league system. So he's Eugene Emeralds, and I've got about a full 4Runner full of gear that needs someplace in Baja. Oh.
That is
a team right there in Puerto Abriojos. I went to the ballpark. It was pretty cool. Austineros.
Yeah. I swear, if you can see a home game, it is so fun. I mean, and there's pros. Like, they have professionals playing. Maybe people that didn't really make it in the minor.
They get a free room and board.
Yeah, they get a free room and board and you know, like, and pay them, and they get paid, and they get to play baseball, and the whole town goes nuts. And oh my God, we've had so much fun. But their colors are the Ostioneros are like the Oakland Athletics, like they're the
exactly.
They have three different youth baseball teams, and they travel all over. It's like Hoosiers, like the 15 cars going down to Loretto to go watch them play and just honking the whole way. It's really fun.
Well, my donation is going to go to the coach in San Ignacio, which is a level lower than your folks at Punto Abriojos. But I'm looking forward to watching a game, drinking a few beers, maybe a michelada or something.
There you go.
Keith, I'm just delighted that we got a chance to talk about you and your fabulous property. It is Slow Baja approved, and I hope
that thank you.
Hang in there with you sometime, and you're teaching me how to fish.
Let's do it.
I want to share with you my new favorite place in the Valle. Adobe Guadalupe Vineyards and Inn is just a beautiful, beautiful place to stay. The long driveway, when you turn off the road and you head up this long driveway, every detail is thoughtful, spectacular. Her True Miller is the hostess that you can see her hand in every detail, from the food truck outside the front gate to the stunning stables and her Azteca horses. Solomon, the handsome horseman will put you onto a beautiful ride around the property. Every day starts with a beautiful breakfast of chilaquiles, fresh fruit picked from the bounty of her property, hand-squeezed orange juice, spectacular coffee from Colima. She might even put a shot of her Tia Tula patented tequila into that coffee if you ask for it and you say Slow Baja recommends it. It really is a, it's hard for me to even put in words. It really is just a warm and relaxing home. I wish it were my home in the Valle, frankly. AdobeGuadalupe.com for more information. Tell True Miller that Slow Baja sent you, and I'll see you in the Valle. For appearing on Slow Baja today, our guests will receive the beautiful Benchmark Map 72-page Baja Road and Recreation Atlas. Do not go to Baja without this, folks. You never know when your GPS is going to crap out, and you're going to want a great map in your lap. Trust me.